Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your deadly program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, and otherwise you can text us on that deadly number, and that deadly number is 01457140550. Otherwise, check it out on Facebook as well. That's BBM 987 FM. And look, a voice for our people, so do add to the conversation. Talk about any topic that you want to talk about, that motivates you, inspire you, frustrate you. Either way, all ears here. And I'd like to take this time to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. A very good morning. Big shout out there to Dazza. That's Daryl Merger. Caught up with the brother there yesterday over at Yarraba. And a big shout out and good morning to everybody at Yarraba, and also Brian Merger as well. Caught up with the brother. And our Meglu brother over there, Michael. So big shout out to you guys. Hope you're well. And the Gurganji Rangers doing their bit there, looking after country and train up the young ones as well. Have your say, mob, 1-800-422-416.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, Tudele Wara Kajungu Tarama, and that's a Roadblock, Roadblock Band, that is, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yana Strong, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, so give us a call and have your say. Now, what is the cashless debit card? Australian government is considering the best possible ways to support people, families and communities in places where high levels of welfare dependency coexist with high levels of social harm. The cashless debit card is testing whether reducing the amount of cash available in a community will reduce the overall harm caused by welfare-fueled alcohol, gambling and drug misuse. While it's not the only solution, it is a useful tool operating alongside other reforms to address the devastating impacts of drug and alcohol misuse and problem gambling. Your cashless debit card looks at looks and operates like a regular bank card, except it cannot be used to buy alcohol, gambling products, some gift cards, or to withdraw cash. We're going to catch up a yarn with a local sister here, Bernice Kelly, and she may have different views on that. Bernice, good morning, sis.
How are you?
I'm well. Are you against the cashless debit card?
Well, it's obscene in the sense that it's $12,000 per person to administer that card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if your benefit is $16,000, and that's about all a pensioner gets per year. Another $12,000? I mean, they say, why not add that $250 administration fee to their pension or to their Newstart allowance?
You're saying what they can have control then, what they spend their money on, is what you're saying?
Well, come on, Trev. Most of these people are on the bones of their backside.
Mm-hmm.
And you accuse them of going out, sitting in casinos, and gambling and drinking. What a load of cobblers.
Well, a no percentage maybe, but not everybody.
This was all made up by a billionaire miner from WA who came up with this great idea of this card, cashless card. Now, you know, it's obscene. Your benefit is your benefit. It's got nothing to do with some billionaire living on the other side of Australia who's got a bee in his bonnet about paying royalties to Aboriginal people.
Mm. So you feel as though people should be taking what they spend their money on is entirely up to them, is what you're saying. You there, Bernice? I'll try and get Bernice back. Bernice Kelly, being her bonnet, she's not impressed with the cashless debit card. We'll try and get her back then. That's the conversation we're having with Bernice Kelly, but you can throw in your bits in regard to that topic or any topic you want to talk about here on National Talk Black. And that daily number again is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text me 01457140550. If you're listening, Bernice, yeah, we got cut off there. Want to continue the conversation? So, no, I did not hang up when you're my sister. Ready for the yarn, so add to the conversation. 1-800-422-416. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS and House at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Stay tuned. His heart speaks out, Tony Janky, but we'll go back to Tony because we've got Bernice back online. You there, sister?
Yeah, so, look, I don't know. I think it's the, they don't want us talking.
Yeah, thank you. They hear that we're talking. Yeah, that's right.
Do you know, none of the major TV channels are talking about this, nor are any of the newspapers.
Well, we're talking about our people and people who are on struggle streets, so
but
to speak.
It's not just Aboriginal people. It's everybody.
Yes.
You know, first they try it out on the black community and, oh, shit, it works.
Mm. Guinea pigs, we were.
Now let's spread it out across the country. And they've got it right now. They're trying to push the legislation through Parliament as we speak with Pauline Hanson and Jackie Lambie full on there right behind the government. They want to push this through that everybody on a Centrelink payment will go on one of these in-due cards. You know, it's obscene. $40 a day is what someone on Newstart gets.
Can you survive on $40
a day?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
And yet they want to pay $250 a week administration fees for some multinational corporation that the federal, a federal national party politician has got his fingers in.
So you're thinking it's a money-making machine, sister?
Trevor, I am sick to death of us talking about let's lock up the kids for going out stealing cars, and yet we've got politicians that have got offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands, and our money's going offshore for some of their little pet projects like Watergate, $23 billion. Then we've got the Education Fund, $13 billion. That money went to offshore RTOs, registered training organisations, that put people, Aboriginal people, white people, into debt by offering them a laptop computer to do a course that was never delivered.
Mm. So all a scam, you're saying?
What's that?
You're saying it's all a scam.
Everything is a scam. When you privatise your welfare system, there's nothing wrong with our welfare system. When you take staff out and make it unworkable, yeah, of course it's going to look like they're dummies.
Mm.
But they have turned around and deliberately done this, and then they've turned around and bought in a corporation from England called Serco, that they are paying $90 million, this is the federal government, $90 million to chase debts by the robo-debt.
Mm.
And they also sacked 800 public servants who were the answering services for that Centrelink service.
Mm-hmm.
So our government is basically dismantling our welfare system without referendum. This is a breach of our tax act. We pay for this, Trevor.
Sure, exactly. Taxpayers' money.
When you are a PAYE employee, look up the tax act and what you're entitled to.
Mm.
Because we have a government full of lawyers and accountants, and they've got everybody at each other's throats, you're running around wanting to crucify kids, but you don't want to talk about the legislation that they've passed in Parliament that makes it into a toothless, useless document, and all the police are doing is running around chasing their tails, and when they get these kids, there's nothing you can do.
Mm.
Don't blame the courts. Blame that bloody person sitting in the member of Parliament.
Sure, exactly. They're the ones that make the decisions.
You know, they make the laws, Trevor.
Make the laws, exactly, yes.
And when you give a kid a license to commit a crime, these kids just go, I Googled it. I Googled up the juvenile justice system in Queensland and I read everything there in 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now what, you don't think these kids can do the same thing?
Well, exactly. Yep.
You know,
they know the rules of engagement and they operate within those guidelines.
This is the contempt of our government. They are giving us the finger. Problem belong on you. When the kid jumps the fence, and by the way, I want to warn those vigilante crews, if you go out and try to do something against those kids, the law will go against you.
Exactly. You can't take the law in your own hands.
No, no, no. And they will take your houses off you. They will sue your backsides off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to be angry, 200 people turned up to a meeting last night. I can just imagine. Hang them, you know, kids. Yeah, and I bet you your member of parliaments were sitting there and you never said a word to them. You gutless, spineless wonders.
What's your thought we should do with kids committing crimes? Youth crime is very big across the nation.
Well, let's go back to poverty, Trevor.
Mm.
You know, when you've got families living on $40 a day, honestly.
Desperate people do desperate things.
This is poverty, Trevor. This is what breeds criminal activity.
Mm.
When you've got a job and you're happy in your job and you can go home to your home or your flat, whatever it is, you're a happy little chappy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're sitting there seeing everybody else, oh, by the way, and they're bringing in all these foreign workers because Australians don't want to work. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Australians want to work if you pay them the right wages.
Yep.
And we see now
there lies the problem.
The supermarkets, all the big businesses have ripped off all the casual workers. $300 million owed in lost wages. $26 billion written off in superannuation. Who do you think that affects?
Exactly. And the thing is...
Lies.
And you're talking about crimes.
Come on, Australia, time for change.
Yep.
You need to get rid of these overpaid, useless, incompetent politicians who just make... All they do is make noise.
Mm.
Noise. Then they'll go back and sit in their office and pick their nose and say, well, we got them out of our hair for 24 hours.
Being your bonnet. Good yarn with you. Thank you, Bernice.
No, I'm sick and tired of blaming kids, Trev.
Yep, truly. Don't blame the kids.
That's Chicken Little there.
Mm.
Chicken Little.
Mm.
These children are a product of our environment.
Okay, so we're talking about the products who are now before us. They're still committing crimes. What's your answer to so-called punishment, or what should we do with these?
Well, how about, how we used to have Tedford Farm?
Yeah. Jeff
Until
Guess.
The politicians came along and stuck their noses in it and buggered it up, right? Mm. Well, there's a guy called, I think it's called Backtrack Boys,
mm-hmm.
And they take boys out in the bush and they just talk to them, you know, one-on-one, no big lectures. Mm. They help them into jobs, and I think that's what they need. You know, most of these kids don't have
direction.
A father.
Yep.
Most of these kids have got mothers who are so stressed out they can't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
They need somewhere where they can go and have a good, you know, man-to-man talk with someone.
Sure, yeah.
Someone who's a real father.
Mm.
Someone who doesn't punch your head in when you ask him a question.
Yep.
Someone who's willing to wrap his arms around you and say, that's all right, son, we all make mistakes.
That's right, exactly, yeah. So it's like sort of tough love, but also love of life. Yeah, Bernice? That's Bernice Kelly there. You got deep in conversation. Started with the cashless debit card conversation and went on to youth crime, which is going right across this beautiful country of ours. And the answers, we're looking for the answers. What should we do? We as First Nation people are talking culture. A lot of the First Nation elders are upset with what's going on with our young ones running right, and they've lost their identity, lost their culture. We need culture back in their life. Have your say, your mob. Add to the conversation. 1-800-422-416 is the number. The program is National Talk Black, and the host is the bally one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and I'm taking you right through 12 noon Queensland time, and we're housed at the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We are Aboriginal people,
Yeah, Too Deadly, My People, My People. Chris Phillips here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, mob, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416, or start a conversation. Either way, I'm all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. I'm the host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and the bully one. Name is Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, on my mob, 1 year Gungalid on my dad's side, up there, Doomadgee, Burketown, Mornington Island way, and my beautiful mother, Darnley Island, Torres Straits, all the Salapit mob. Very good morning. Hope you're well, your mob. Add to the conversation. Otherwise, text the brother, 014-5714-0550. And otherwise, check us out on Facebook as well. I call it Sook Book. And that is BBM 987 FM. All right, going to catch up with the boys in blue. We're talking Rob Hollingsworth and Sergeant Glenn DeLay from the Edmonton Police Station. And they've come and have a yarn in their weekly yarn, which is Which Way Yarning? Proudly sponsored by Peconi's, IGA, Brinsmead in Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit once a week for our school bus traineeship as we promote healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Gentlemen, good morning. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trev.
Good morning, Trev.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. Fantastic. Yep. Now, listen, I was just having a yarn with beautiful Bernice Kelly. We're talking about the cashless debit card, and the conversation then alluded into youth crime. And that's our topic, gentlemen. Yeah. So thank you for coming and to have a yarn. Youth crime, youth justice issues are complex. Issue with the Queensland Police Service playing a significant part, but we're not alone. So I want to bring you into the conversation regarding, acknowledgement. You guys are well aware of the crime that's going on out there. Legislation is sometimes a tool, but then sometimes an enemy in regarding what you can and what you can't do as in boys and girls in blue uniforms. So tell us about your acknowledgement of the crime that's going on out there.
For me, Trevor, just with the youth crime that's going on, we're not alone. We're asking other community members, businesses to help support the police as well with regards to policing these youth crime matters. So, we're just hoping that's a community effort. Like you say, we're bonded by legislation, the police, and, we can only do so much so far. And so we'd like, assistance or a push from the other side where the community gets behind us as well.
Sure. We were talking about victims out there who've been, crime has been put on them, whether it be breaking into their workplace or their house and what have you, and also physical contact, if not verbal abuse. They would be the victims, would they not, Glenn?
Yeah, look, they are the victims, and we're acknowledging that there's challenges involved in keeping the community safe. Always has been with policing, and it's always ever changing. Technology added to the mix, in the last 20 or 30 years has made a big difference to the way people commit crimes and
how they talk with one another.
The way they communicate, but how police deal with the crimes as well. So. Mm. Policing is always a challenging environment, and also acknowledging that there is we could look at an increase in crime, not just in the far north. Mm-hmm. That's
across the nation.
That's across the nation, statewide, across the nation. So we need to look at ways to combat that, and we've got to be smart about how we do that, and a lot of the time that includes not just locking up the offender, but it's looking at the underlying causes and intervening early, and sometimes not just with the children involved. Sometimes it's equally as important to engage the family of these children.
Sure,
look, that's been a part of this program. For a long time, we've spoke about our positive mentors and, doing things with our children and, and looking.
Not the parents, the auntie and uncles or the grandparents.
It's a whole of the community.
Yep. I sort of look at it too, Trevor, the parents with a bit of understanding with us police and we support them and they support us in regards to getting these kids to school. Not letting them play video games all day and not going to school and all that type of stuff, It creates boredom, it creates, and as you say, boredom's devil's advocate it's something that we just want to get these kids proactive.
So a lot of these kids who commit crime are young ones who virtually have left school 12 months ago, 2 years ago sort of thing. So there's roam in the streets and sad sometimes. Well, there's kids out there having kids. Mm. So the kids, the so-called parents, have lost control at these young ones who are just running riot.
It's unfortunate, and that's why we sort of hound on young kids who are roaming around during school hours. You should be at school. Otherwise, what are you doing? That's why just understand that, and we want parents and we want to encourage parents to support police if we if they're having issues with their kids at home not wanting to go to school, you know, those type of things. So they can't go walk around, you know, freely and just.
Exactly, you know. Rob, you mentioned off there that sometimes the kids are victims themselves.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Well, from my point of view, we try to remain partial. You know, there's two stories to this party. You know, we not only point the finger, but we all go, also got to understand.
That's right. Lots happening. You know, our role in this is to you know, obviously solve the offences, bring the offenders before the court.
Sure.
You know, and obviously being police, we sometimes get an insight into these children's lives, and some of their lives are quite sad. You know.
Sure. Exactly.
You know, the general public sometimes, you know, they don't get exposure to some of the abuse, the domestic violence. Mm. You know, the poverty that these children. Have grown up in, and this is their normal world, you know. And
the transitional breakdown, where they're trying to transfer into, you know, young adults, and they break down.
Yep.
So they're coming from a not so good background, so to speak, you know. Still doesn't, you know, give them the right to commit crime and what have you. But I remember going back about 10, 15 years ago, the government was giving out like $3,000 to people who have babies. I mean, that in itself was a money-making machine, and there was kids out there having kids, and here lay before us, 2020, crime with youth is skyrocketing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, look, there's no question that our crime rates have gone up, in like I say, particularly in the north and the rest of the state, which then gives rise to other groups to the community being, reasonably upset that they don't feel safe, and and has led to some of these other groups forming.
And you've mentioned forming. I mean, here in Cairns, there's a group on Facebook called Cairns Regulators. And to me, it seemed like a group of local people there, all standing together to help cut down crime. But then some of it's feedback I'm getting is some of it tends to be like a vigilante group. Now, that's the other thing too. We shouldn't be taking laws in our own hands.
No, that's right.
That's a no-no. That's against the law.
That's right. And I'm shying away from the word vigilante. And the reason I do that is because I won't give that or any group the feeling that that's what they are, that they should go and take the law into their own hands.
Okay, it's not what we're promoting.
No.
It's
against the law. That's right. And so I'm looking at it more as a private Facebook group. With people who initially have concerns with crime levels in a local area. I've met with the regulators last week. A couple of times I've spoke to them, and last week we've met with them. We have to engage them as a community group.
Well, that could be instigating crime against crime, so to speak.
That's right, and that was our concerns with the group is that some of the messages that were giving to their audience was probably not appropriate, and certainly would lead to offences that this regulator group may have been committing.
Well, someone within that group does act. Doing something lawful and hurt somebody, or is this group then accountable for that individual's action?
Absolutely. Like my instructions to our staff at Edmonton Station is if this group commits an offence, well, we deal with the offence as it is. You know,
they'll be dealt with just like everybody
else.
That's
right. They're not police. The benefit of the group is that the community are our eyes and ears.
Eyes and ears, exactly.
But I'll raise one that's been long-standing in this nation is neighbourhood watch groups.
Sure,
do the same thing. They're their eyes and ears, and they encourage each other to contact police, keep a lookout for their neighbours. That's been a very successful group, and hasn't really needed.
Well, I heard conversation like coming from the Cairns regulators. You can still walk the streets looking for your dog, and you got your chain with you.
That's
while
right.
you're looking for your dog.
Absolutely.
Or walking in the dark carrying a torch, which is a real big long torch. You know,
yeah,
look like a baton, so to speak. So
that's right.
And are they intent?
Look, and that was our conversations with the group is that you know, we don't want to see the group incite any sort of violence. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see the group take any matters into their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the conversation was positive enough that we could point out some of the shortfallings of
okay.
And this is
and were they open to the conversation?
Yeah, look, they have to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the real thing we wanted to reinforce is that if they commit an offence, that's going to be dealt with.
Yep.
And let's not shy away from the fact that you can commit offences online as well. So if you're inciting violence
look, the people are frustrated. I understand that, you know, but it's not about being right, it's about doing what's right.
That's right, Trevor.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And Trevor, that's where it falls back, you know, to, you know, not pinpointing our mob, but our people, the community, that you need to take responsibility for their own actions too, you know, and do the right things. People are going to hark up regardless of whether you're Indigenous, non-Indigenous or whatever. It's people's personal property that they worked hard for. You know, there's opportunities out there for people to take another diversion in life, you know. So just think about it. Think before you act. You know,
exactly.
That's what we sort of... That people will react, you know. This is people's lives, belongings and stuff like that, so...
And I suppose another message that we need to put across out there to the wider community, we as First Nation people, especially our elders, are peeved off, upset and frustrated to how our kids are operating, because that's not our culture.
Yeah, that's right, Trevor, and it becomes a bit disappointing. You know better. You should have been brought up better, you know. So it's just been rebellious, I feel, to the system, and it should, you know, we should come back and have a look at ourselves as a community, and that's just in regards to Indigenous culture and engaging with the mainstream system and so that we can have a joint community where we can all get along, you know.
Exactly. And the other thing is the so-called legislation, the rules are the rules. And the sad thing is these kids know the rules.
They do.
So when they do commit a crime, they know they just get a slap on the wrist and they're out on bail next day and back into the yucky system that they're in, you know.
You know, there's that battle, you know, of pinpointing who the offenders are and who's this and whether my kid's done this and my kid's done that. I respect the fact that parents are all really prejudiced towards their kids and they'll stick up for their kids and that type of thing. But they need
to wrong,
ask,
they do it wrong.
Trev, they need to ask their children sometimes where they are and what they've been doing.
True.
You know? So,
If you do the crime, then you do the time, so to speak, but you got to be reprimanded for the crime that you're committing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah, and I know there's a little bit of community concern about these groups that are formed, you know, and rightly so, because now there are some children that aren't doing the wrong thing. They are the good children that are walking around in the evenings and they haven't committed an offence.
Sure.
And obviously, then they may be targeted by these groups.
Well, exactly.
And have been. And you know, that's where we have a separate concern again now.
Sure, because, exactly.
What originated from property crime has led now to, you know, some community members wanting to drive around and prevent this from happening.
Mm.
But then we can't control who these people are and we end up with people doing the wrong thing and communities, kids in the community will for any reason be walking in it. And I mean, I don't agree with some of the hours children are out at some nights.
No.
But look, they could be coming home from grandma's place, going home to their parents' place, you know, they've just finished watching a movie or whatever. And they're the ones we don't want to see targeted by any of these private Facebook groups. So.
Mm.
So, gentlemen, you both as officers in regard to operating, policing within that legislation, what's your thoughts outside that? What do you think the government should be doing? What do you reckon there should be out there for kids? What, building more detention centres? The Jeff Guest Pedford Farm?
Trevor, I agree with all these programs and putting us on the right track and stuff, but at the end of the day, we need jobs. We need solutions. We need opportunity, you know. And,
well, Bernice Kelly mentioned that these kids, I mean, desperate people do desperate things.
Mm.
If they haven't got a job, they've got no money coming in, then they'll go out and commit crime.
And do those desperate things. As a policing focus, it's hard to – we can't pinpoint who exactly is – you know, which one is which. So that's just a random run of the process, Trev.
We've got things like Project Booyah, where we identify children that are at risk continuous contact with the criminal justice system and – And they seem to have a lot of success with Project Bouye.
What do they do? Are they sent away to a detention centre, are they?
This is run by police. They might
This Queensland or across the nation or?
In the far north,
yeah. Yep.
They'll take them to camps. They will. They will talk about their emotional intelligence. They will, put them through obstacle courses.
Mm. Is this run by the Youth Justice? Is it?
This is run by police.
Police. Okay.
Yeah. And look, Youth Justice have their own programs as well.
They do.
Mm-hmm. But you know, look, and this is where we say it's a whole of community approach. Youth Justice, police, but
exactly.
Parents, elders, everyone. If they all come together, and we're all trying to focus on these children. To grow into good, responsible young adults, we've achieved our goal.
Mm.
So that's
so locking up a youth is probably not a good idea. I mean, if they're not changing their mind, their thought process, then they're coming back out of the system with the same mentality. Yeah,
it's like a revolving door.
Yeah, look, I'm probably unable to comment on that because there may be reasons when a child should be incarcerated.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And
And each circumstance is going to be different, you know. But I think if we do have these programs where children have access to improving their future, anything is a better thing than nothing. So, and I think like governments are working towards that. That you know they'll try different things and see where we have successes or failures and hopefully tweak things towards what's worked.
Yeah, Trevor, I'm sort of trying to push for something like for the young Indigenous guys, you know, the ones who are sort of just in that area of not going to school or sitting around at home doing nothing and stuff like that. You know, that's where that boredom and that stuff kicks in. You know, hopefully we can. Try to get some proactive activity going out our way and I encourage any of them young fellas, you know, just think twice before getting behind a stolen vehicle or having a domestic with your missus and, you know, just see if you can tap in with us and we'll see what we can do and give you a bit of guidance, direction. You know?
Sure. Mm. They say active time and active hands, the devil's playground, you know what I mean? As you said, boredom, if they're bored with what they're doing or they've got no money or what have you, and people out there having fun or wearing the Air Jordans or, you know, going to school or, you know, playing in a football team, winning a grand final, and they're not in that system, then they feel lost and no hope. And
you know, us as police, Trevor, we focus a lot on policing and that community side of it. It takes, that's why we hope they... community support services and organisations out there get behind us as well. And
And parents, like Robbie touched on earlier, you know, like if parents know their children are engaging in criminal activity, let the police know, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like dobbing in your child, but you do want it to essay where your child is in and out of system for the next 20 years.
Well, it's probably longer because you're reinforcing their behaviours, you know, and
exactly.
as adults, then they will continue their criminal behaviour, and we don't get away from that, you know. So I think. You know, these children that are committing these offences right now are very active on social media. They like to flaunt their brags and try and elevate themselves in their world.
Yes.
And that's a good opportunity. Then if people know that they're active, to take screenshots, let police know what's happening.
Well, when you talk about a little petty crime by, stealing something from someone's house, into stealing a car, into breaking in... raping women, it's escalating and crime is getting more vicious.
You create a profile, you create a history, Trev. You create a profile and history. So your chances of getting a job, going to that next step in life, it just comes
makes it harder. Makes it harder. You know what I mean? Turn around, make the right decision. Look, a very robust conversation, a very important conversation. Thank you, gentlemen. Edmonton Police, the Sergeant Glenn Delay and PLO Police Liaison Officer Cousin Rob Hollingsworth. A very important discussion. You guys can only do what you can do. Your hands are tied, but you need a community behind you to support you. And all we can do at this point in time is stop the crime and prevent the crime from happening. And if we do catch a youth committing crime, then we put them in the system. If they are let back out again, that is the system. And your hands are tied in that
it's
sense.
Not the police. It's the system.
It's the system. So make that point. And not that you're palming off the excuses as such. You too, as police, have got to abide by the laws and you're running by the laws, and everybody out there needs to do the same.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, beautiful conversation. Thank you, gentlemen. All the best to you, eh? Yep.
Thanks, Trev.
Too deadly. So, beautiful yarn with the boys in blue and a very important yarn across this nation. It's becoming, how you say, we've been talking the coronavirus. This is a virus, youth crime. It's happening across this big island of ours, and we need to do our bit, you know, in regard to talking to the young ones, finding what's going on, looking for an opportunity to build upon. But the politicians as well need to do their bit. Look at a plan, talk to the community, talk to the elders, especially with First Nation youth and First Nation people. There lies a lot of numbers in regarding the crime rate, and the percentages are high with our mob. But at the same time, no, one bad apple in the cart don't mean they're all bad. So it's not all the First Nation, but then it's just youth. We need to fix the situation. So do add to the conversation. Tell us your thoughts. And if you've got something going out there and that you think may work, then, hey, we want to hear from you. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Treaty, Yothu Yindi here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Going to catch up with Selwyn, my brother. Good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, deja vu, brother.
Deja vu.
Ben and Tim's all over again. Australasian Post, 1986-87, brother.
Yes.
He was the sergeant, and he said it was hell in paradise, Cairns, and his comments like calling dingoes, Uncle Clary Grogan and Brother McMillan and others went up to the cop shop and offered him out, the sergeant. But and it sounded like deja vu all over again. And I heard you say about baby bonus, brother. But I think it backfired, baby. Same like victim's compensation. The victim was more for the rich retirees of Southeast Queensland. And how it backfired was, white folks think they're the only victims of the crime, but they got a big shock when they are more black folks are victims of crime than white fellows.
Mm.
And with this baby bonus, black fellows have the Eve genes and their belts at breeding, brother. So I think that backfired to the compo.
Mm.
Sorry, yeah, the baby bonus. Brother, you know, the 3M's, the children were demonized from the 3M suburbs and they'll be going to the high school here, and my kids are off here. My kids, I'm there for them all the time. And what happened was, I thought, like you often say, the crab in the bucket, and she went through a lot of hard times, my 15-year-old especially. And I told you on the program about how child safety's come with me, and they said, look, I have to sign a paper, because they wanted my daughter to stay with her friends. And I said, look, if I signed a paper, I don't know who that friend is. I don't know. They could be walking the street. And the coppers always say, does the parents know you're there? So I didn't sign the paper, but but I did sign for her to go to her mum. And her mum, I won custody from her mum through family law. And she was the last person that I went to. And anyway, she had issues with her mum. But I got her back, brother. And what happens, what I'm afraid of is the priest, police profiling of all the black ones, brother. We've got a few of that being put up, brother. But I want to say to all those white folks that are listening, you have a monopoly on disgust. We feel disgusted too. And
exactly.
Our old people and our families, we are victims of crime too. But of course, you know, young people will always be young people. I always like to bring Neville Rand, the New South Wales Premier, Harriet Ran, she got into crime. Bob Hawke's daughter. And, you know, the stories down there, brother. The parents, some of them are parents of politicians, coppers, they buy the girl for those young kids, brother.
Yep.
Brother. So, what I want to say again, you know, to white folks that are listening, you're not the only, you don't have a monopoly on disgust. We have that too. And a lot of parents that are good, and I'd like to bring about a sister there down in Townsville. She was talking to her daughter. Her daughter was making fun of her, you know. While she was on the phone, the car crashed, and her daughter died while talking to her mom on the phone. So a lot of parents, but young people are always going to be young people. If you're a good parent, like I say, I brought up Neville Rand and Bob Hawke, daughter's brother. Thank you, brother, for my little beef. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Too, Daddy Selwyn. Yeah, Yarn Upstrong here on the Daily Program, National Talk Black. Yarn with the Baldy Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your Daily Program, National Talk Black. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, and we're housed at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. Give us a call, but you have to do that tomorrow because Murray going to sign off here. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, 24/7 text us 01457140550, or check out our Facebook page as well, BBM 98.7 FM. All right, two mobs, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Yarn and soon, too deadly.